Proverbs chapter 6, we want to read four verses, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. And the subject of our message this morning is the power of lies. The power of lies from Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running the mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. I think it's no coincidence that the Lord has itemized the element of lying in this part of Scripture. He's naming abominable things. Things that He hates. Things that are on the top seven, six or seven of the list of the things that He hates. And among those, I think it's not hard for you to notice that He lists some element of lying twice. The only one of the abominable things that He lists twice. And I think there's something significant about that. Without doubt, I think He meant for readers to be reminded of the seriousness of lies by reference to these two aspects of them. The lying tongue and the person who owns that tongue and uses it to witness a false witness, which are lies. Now, our subject today is about the power of lies, as I said. And I believe that the impact that lying has upon the world and upon humanity in general is the reason that God so hates lies and calls the lying tongue and the liar an abomination. I don't think there's a soul in this room that hasn't been negatively impacted by lying, either by friends, relatives, or even foes in your lifetime. I don't think anybody here has not experienced some negative thing resulting from lies that have impacted your life. We're all partakers of that in one way or another. In fact, I think that that is exactly what God had in mind in the Word when He so cursed lying as a habit of human nature. And I believe every one of you also know that the old carnal self of you has this propensity to tell a lie when you're driven into a corner. Have you ever noticed how you start thinking of some answer that's either oblique or not quite all the truth or even an outright lie? Aren't you tempted to do that? I am. It's one of those things that belongs to the Adam in us. And it takes us all in a snare if we allow it to. We have to guard against it. We have to watch for it. Now, I don't think we have the capacity to measure the negative impact of lying upon humankind and the business that's going on earth and even the impact that lying has upon things happening in heaven. And I may mention this again, but do you realize that lies told upon our Lord Jesus Christ impacted heaven and earth that day when He was brought to trial and tried trumped up charges and sentenced to be crucified all because of lying? I understand the will of God in these things. And I understand the permissions of God that must take place in order for lies to have the kind of impact they had that day at Calvary. But still in all, whether we recognize and acknowledge God's power over all things or not, God curses lies and He's aware of the awfulness of them. And that's why He speaks about them in our text in the way that He does. Now today we're going to use one biblical reference. This subject of lying is enough to give you one of those sermons that you fall asleep about the second hour that the preacher's preaching. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take one portion of Scripture, what I call a keystone portion of Scripture about lying, And we're going to look at the factors that it presents to us about lies and lying and how it impacts humanity and what it does and the nature of lies, how they're formulated, and why they are so effective, God helping us. So let's turn in our Bibles. I know I gave you Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 as our text because I wanted you to hear God speak about how He hated lying and how it was an abomination to Him. But I want you to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 3 for our keystone text about looking at the profile and the power of lies. Genesis chapter 3. Most all of you are very familiar with this particular account, but let's look at it in a little depth this morning and try to help ourselves as the Holy Spirit will lead to understand the power of lies by looking at the greatest lie that was ever told before the ones that were told when Jesus was convicted on falsehood and put to death. Look at Genesis 3, and we'll look here in this portion of the Word of God at some verses here, verses 4 and 5, and I'm going to try to stick basically to those for the profile stuff. Genesis chapter 3, verses, let's kind of read a background so you know where this comes in at. Let's start at 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I'd like to remind every one of you, friends and brothers and sisters, that both verses 4 and 5 are lies. We sometimes take 4, we look at it and say, that's a lie. That's a deception. It's couched in some modicum of truth, but it's really a blatant lie. But I want to remind you that verse 5 is also a blatant lie because it's a deception that promises some things that look good by the way they're portrayed by the evil one, but they are all to bring sorrow in the outcome. So it's a lie. It's a farce. It's a deception. And let me just suggest to you that in your day-to-day life, not only is just a plain out-and-out dark lie a lie, but deception is a lie. We need to remember that because today we live in a world where lies are not quite as blatant. Although, lately, I've heard some lies watching TV watching newscasts on TV that are so obvious lies 2 months down the road that you realize that they were just plain blatant lies. But the fact of the business is those lies are being told undercover of the ignorance of the people, and it takes the people 2 or 3 months to find out that that's not going to happen or that it happens just the opposite. And that's what makes them lies, because promises are made that are false by those who know what the outcome is going to be, and the outcome is going to be a destruction of things and the costing or negative impact to people's lives is going to flow out of it. This is exactly what the devil did in verse 5. Now, what can we learn from this awful introduction upon earth of the very first lie that ever occurred on earth's soil? What can we learn about this? First of all, looking directly at what Satan has done here, We can see that lying was the tool which altered the state of man forever. It was the lie of Satan that produced or provided the avenue whereby the human being that Eve was entered into the trespass as a result of some little bit of a provocation and coercion and suggestion by the lie that the devil told. I'm not discounting the responsibility of Adam and Eve. They were totally responsible human beings and had received the direct commandment from God not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. But what I am pointing out, brothers and sisters, is that Satan, being more subtle than all the other or any of the other beasts of the field, being empowered, imbued with power by the devil, he came to him in the form of a serpent. He came to Eve in the form of a serpent and deceived her by telling half-truths and making promises. And while they were responsible, his was the route that was created by which they could enter into the trespass and did enter. So, lying was the tool which altered the state of man. The fall of man from his sinless state occurred because man, in his innocence and his weakness, stepped on the banana peeling of the greatest lie ever foisted on the human race and went down into the pit of death as a result of the lies of the wicked one. What happened to man? All of you are personally experienced in what happened to Adam and Eve when they followed the lie of Satan. First of all, they became mortal creatures. There was no threat of losing that eternal state of enjoying the presence and comfort of God in the garden prepared by the Lord for the comfort of Adam and Eve. There was no threat of losing that condition on earth before this awful tragic incident happened. But now, Adam and Eve are no longer immortal. They are mortal in the human frame and must suffer death. They lose so much. They lost the unsullied communion of God. Today, our brothers and sisters of humanity out there that are lost and without Christ have no communication link with God whatsoever. And the reason they don't is because of Satan's lies that thousands of years ago. And they wander in halls of darkness without Christ and without hope in this world because of the lies of Satan. They lost the privilege of an environment that was in perfect harmony with God. I mean, everything was cool in the Garden of Eden. I mean, they didn't have to work to make the living. They dressed the garden because it was a comfort, a privilege, a pastime almost, a recreation. And all this was lost because of the lies of Satan. They were forced to discover hard work. And in that hard work that they were forced to discover, they discovered failure. They discovered every time they planted their garden that weeds grew up after the vegetables. It was always there. And so the hole had to come out. And they had to keep that thing hoed all the time. And if they left the patch alone, the weeds come up and took it over. And we experienced that today. Every one of us are experiencing these things. Thousands of years later, we're still enjoying the fruits of the lies of Satan. Satan with his lies and Adam and Eve with their compliance ushered in a world of war, a world of disease and poverty, a world of violence and terror, a world of sorrow and shame and bitterness. Everything that we think of as being negative about this world was ushered into this world at that point, at that hour of Satan's great lie and Eve's compliance. So, lying was a tool that altered the state of man. Now, I believe that this lie of Satan is the very lie that the Lord Jesus Christ had reference to in John 8:44. You'll remember when he was talking to a bunch of religious hypocrites over there, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father," or the lusts of your father, "ye will do." Now listen to what he said. "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And this brings us to our second thought about what this awful moment in the garden teaches us. And that is that the heinousness of this lie of Satan is so severe because it was the tool of murder. This is the tool that Satan used to murder the entire race of mankind. If you're here this morning and you're lost without Christ, I beg you to consider the gospel message that God has for you today, and that is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you don't believe in the only begotten Son of God, you're under condemnation already because you have not believed. The condemnation of sin and unbelief is upon you because you have not believed. And if you are an unbeliever this morning in that state, it is because Satan has murdered you. You need to remember that when you start complying with the will of Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he used this tool of lying to murder the entire human race. That made necessary the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to God that in His infinite wisdom, He understood that we would stay dead forever if we didn't have someone who could pull us up out of the pit, who could save us from that dead state when we were yet dead in trespasses and in sins. The Lord Jesus Christ called us out of darkness into light. I'm so thankful to God that He had that wisdom to produce the salvation process. But the heinousness of the lie of Satan was that it was used as a tool of murder, the murder of the whole human race. You know, there have been similar lies in history, in the history of man, that have also been tools of murder. We see Satan replicating himself again and again down through human history. I wish I had time to review some of them, but I want to use one. That's nothing more than a replication of this lie told in the garden. And it was told by the Nazi government in the Jewish Holocaust. All of us are familiar with that one. I could quote cite a half a dozen similar instances, but this one most everybody's aware of. Hitler used lies to persuade the Jews to get on buses to be relocated, and he was supposed to be sending them to concentration camps for their good and the good of the state. They ended up in gas chambers. Doesn't that sound like what happened here in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve? It was supposed to be a good fruit to eat, and not something to make somebody wise. They're going to know some stuff that's really good for them. They're going to know some stuff that they didn't know before. And it led to death. Total death, spiritually. And physical death later on. And so, We find it replicated again and again. Hitler and his concentration camps and gas chambers. Lie number one was when he passed the Nuremberg laws that identified certain ethnic and religious groups as subhuman, if you will. Not worthy of citizenship in Nazi Germany. That was the first lie. And it was a lie against the truth that God has created all men equal. And I don't mean equal in the sense of station in life or even intelligence. I'm talking about under God, all men are created by the Lord to be His, to serve Him, and to walk as men and women, boys and girls upon the earth as humans were created to do. They have equality there. Nazi Germany taught otherwise and passed laws to make it not so. This law allowed discrimination against any human group that the government felt was inferior or felt was a detriment to society or the state. Is there anything happening around here today in the world like that, brothers and sisters? I hope you've got your eyes open. The second lie that Nazi Germany told was that the Jews and others were being relocated to concentration camps for their good and the good of the state. And by that stepwise, boiling the frog process, Nazi Germany ended up pulling millions of Jews into concentration camps just long enough to run them through the gas chambers and mass kill them. That is a replication of the work of Satan in the garden on the day that he spoke the lies to Eve. Now, we find that this has gone on all across the globe for centuries, for thousands of years. There's always been something in the way of murder that has taken place. Murder of classes, murder of groups, murder of religious organizations, etc., etc. And every time, I looked at a few of these. I looked at Rwanda and the genocide taking place there. I looked at Sudan and the genocide taking place there. And some other ones. And I've looked at Fox's Book of Martyrs and the genocide taking place there. And what do I find in every instance? Lies! 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 Lies by everybody that's leading the way in this deception to kill off their enemies. Telling lies on them, building up the hype, passing laws, and then killing off entire groups, entire cultures of people. This is the replication of the devil and his creation of lies. So we know that lying altered the state of man, and we know that lying was the tool of murder used by the devil. And any time you see lying at the forefront in bringing innocent men to justice, so-called, and causing their death, you can mark it down. It is the signature of Satan. It is demonic. Now, I want us to notice, third of all, that a lie that is well-crafted may contain some truth so that it can be credible to the ear of the hearer, to the human mind. I pointed out in verse 4 of our Genesis 3 scripture that Satan said, "Thou shalt not surely die." And it's a kind of play on words that Satan was using, as though he was saying, "Oh, you're not going to die as soon as you eat that." Now that has a modicum of truth to it because, you know, Adam lived 900 something years. And that must have been just almost all those years were lived after he ate of the fruit. And it took it that long for him to die in the flesh. But what Satan didn't tell these two was, "Oh, and by the way, you're not going to die physically right off the bat, but hey, you're going to die spiritually as soon as you eat. Because you've disobeyed God, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Lies. But it was so well crafted that they bought it. And every time that a lie is crafted, if the crafter is smart, and he will be smart when he's led of the devil, and when someone crafts a lie, whether you're seeking the consultation of the devil or not, you're using the power of Satan to make a statement. And so when a lie is crafted, it'll always, almost always, contain some elements of craftiness. And the reason it will is because it'll contain an element of truth. Or it will lack an element of disclosure that would make you know it's a lie. Had Satan said, "Now, Eve, you're not going to die all at once. Yeah, you're going to die spiritually. Probably as soon as you get Adam to eat it, and then you two together will die spiritually. And 900 and something years down the road, you're physically going to die." If he had said that to them, do you think she would have said, "Well, okay, in that case, if it's going to be a while, I'll just go ahead and eat it anyway"? I don't think so. And you wouldn't do that either if brought a lie in which the reality behind the deception was not revealed. If it was revealed to you, you'd say, "Forget it. I don't want to be a partaker." And so that's the craftiness of it. That it contains an element of truth. So that it'll be believable. In the Nazi Holocaust experiment that I mentioned, the parallel lie of Satan there was, "We're just moving you concentration camp, to a keeping camp." I guarantee they didn't even use the word concentration camp. We're taking you to another facility, a good facility where we've got to hold you until we sort out who's who in this war that's going on. So, and in this conflict that we're having with other nations, we're going to do you good, and you're going to be with your friends. Hey, and we're going to provide you everything you need when you get there. Just get on that train there. Element of truth, they were going to be together as friends. They were going to feed them some for whatever time they were waiting to ship them into the gas chamber. But the truth of the matter is, while they were telling them, you won't be abused, they were planning that mass extinction of the Jewish race. Isn't that the craftiness of the devil? Now, there's a similar lie today. And it sounds something like this. We're passing this law and we're making this policy for you because we want to do you good. It's for your own good. Now, even if you can't see clearly how this is going to do you good, as soon as the bill is passed, we'll have an opportunity to see what's in it. And from these things, brothers and sisters, we see the signature of the devil. I don't care who it is and what part of the earth it happens. When men begin to use deception and call it transparency, when they begin to use political force and call it persuasion to get laws passed and policies made which enslave humanity and put them under the control of government so they can be led away to a concentration camp, as in the case of Nazi Germany, or whatever the good guys have in store for you, because it's all for your good. Whatever the reason, whatever the motive, it has the signature of Satan. And we want to beware of it. Be armed about it. If we have to go into such a situation as this, as the people of God, let us go with eyes wide open. Not closed, not blind, not sleeping. Now, fourthly, a well-crafted lie will contain an element that questions the status quo. Follow me on this. Satan said, in saying, "You shall not surely die, but God knoweth," God Himself doth know that in the day that you eat this, your eyes will be open. In forming this sentence, this statement, this promise to Eve, he's saying this. He's saying, you aren't seeing things in their proper perspective. If you'll just quit being biased and just be listening to me, I'll teach you some things. There's another world out there. So he's persuading Eve that she's not seeing things in their proper perspective. And what is he really doing as a politician here? He's saying, Eve, you're being kept in the dark. God's keeping you in the dark. In modern day language, it might be something like, your government's been keeping you in the dark. We're going to be transparent from now on. Hear any of that? Brethren, I'm talking about the signature of Satan, the father of lies. So that lie will contain an element that questions status quo. You're being kept in the dark. And then this act of Satan was like saying, you know, there's a higher plane for you to live in than this one. Things are going to get better. As soon as you eat the fruit, everything's going to be good. It's all going to be roses. We'll all be drinking that sweet bubble up and eating that rainbow stew. That's what he's saying to Eve. There's a higher plane for you to live on. Or in other words, he's saying to Eve, you're being deprived of something that you have a right to. Have we heard any of that lately about things that have nothing to do with human rights or even God-given rights or even rights as Americans to have? That it's our right to have this and our right to have that. Some things are a privilege to have. Some things are to be had because that's what we want and we work for it. But nowadays, we hear the echo of Satan saying, you have a right to be heard. You have a right to this and you have a right to that. And you're not getting it. And the reason you're not is because Big Brother has refused to give it to you. Satan's voice, God's not giving it to you, Eve. You have a right to that tree there. It ought to be yours. It's in the garden, isn't it? There it is. It's right there before you. Some other people probably have it. Hey, did you notice that some birds were eating that tree? Hey, did you notice that the monkeys were eating in that tree? Hey, did you notice insects on the tree and they're feeding where they're supposed to be feeding? There's a whole bunch of God-created life forms eating on that tree. What's going on here with this thing? Is that the voice of the deception of the devil? I say it is. And I say we hear that voice again and again when deceivers following the dictates of the prince of the power of the air say things that are blatant lies, but we don't really know it until we've passed the bill so we can know what's in it. Something wrong here, brothers and sisters. Now, next, I want us to look at God's pronouncement about liars. Turn to the book of Revelation chapter 21. I'll use one verse. There's a lot more said in the Bible about God's hatred of liars. But this one caps it because it tells us the end product for liars. And I want everybody here to get this as a message and go home with it. Because when you find yourself the victim of lies, just quote this verse to them. Just quote this verse to them. I don't care who they are, if they're princes or if they're beggars. If you catch them lying to you and you've been made a dupe by lies, quote Revelation 21 and 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, notice that awful black list that he's naming there, brothers and sisters. Look, the fearful, the unbelieving. I don't know how wicked the fearful are, and I'm not sure of the scope of that word. But it suggests a kind of fear that accompanies total rebellion against God. But the unbelieving is self-evident. The unbelieving and the awfulness of that is evident at once when we realize the sacrifice that our Savior made on Calvary that men might be freed from guilt and shame. We know the awfulness of this unbelief. And look, the list goes on. And murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters. It's kind of generic up to that point. He's talking about fearful, unbelieving, sorcerers, murderers, idolaters, whoremongers. But look how he narrows the field in the next type of wicked person identified. And all liars, saith the Lord, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there, Brother James, is the capstone on your message this morning about the fact that if we're ever saved by the grace of God, it's eternal because we all have lied. And Romans 3 tells us that every man has lied. And we know that if we have lied, that if we're not saved and saved eternally, and we're not kept by the power of God unto salvation ready to be revealed at the last time, that we are in that group called all liars. But do you know why we're not in that group called all liars? Because when Christ paid our sin debt, God looks at our checkoff sheet of the sins we've committed, and do you know what He sees? He doesn't see anything. Not a single sin is laid to your charge or mine. That sheet is as blank as it can be. And if it weren't, I know one thing I'd go to hell for. Lying. Because I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. And you did too. But that sheet's white. And it's white because of the payment that Christ made, because of the sacrifice that Christ made. And so, we don't have to worry about it anymore. We are kept by the power of God. But all liars! You go into eternity a liar, not having that lying washed clean on your record, you will spend eternity in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is the fate or the end of all liars. In the next generation, in what's this generation of people in this decade and the next decade, you're going to see lying become rampant on the earth. I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you. All of the signs are there. Men are going to lie any way that they can to retain power over people. That's what they're going to do. It will behoove you, parents, grandparents, to teach your kids to be very acute at detecting lies. Do you know how you can detect lies? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way, I am the truth. And there's only one force in all of God's world that has the keys to truth, and that's the Holy Spirit. And He can guide you into all truth. But if you sit in your ignorance, fail to read your Bible, fail to pray to God for enlightenment, to understand the difference between the deceiver and the liar and truth, you will be duped by liars again and again and again. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I preached the message called Resonance? And I told you then that as children of God, if you're seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance in the truth will resonate with your soul. And what part of teachings or statements by people do not resonate with your soul, although they may be interwoven with elements of truth and truth doctrine, you can know that they are not truth. Satan interwove truth with lies to get done what he came into the garden that day to do. He came to convert Eve and Adam, and he mixed lies with truth. They got so interwoven, they were so complex in their nature that they deceived the woman. I don't know if Adam was deceived or not. There's a lot of theological controversy about that. But she was deceived by his intricately interwoven lie truths, truth lies. And that's exactly the way we recognize his signature today. Truth is interwoven with lies, and people say, it's just for your good. And here's the ways that it's going to be for your good. This and this and this. You're saying it's going to be bad for these points? Well, look, this point is not bad because, and this point is not bad because, and this point is not bad because, and so on, so on, so on ad nauseum. The signature of Satan, when he's lying, looks the same, and there is no counterfeit. And his signature is original. It only shows up again and again in the hands of men as they work the wickedness of the devil down through the ages. Be aware, brothers and sisters, of the power of lies upon earth.